Blog Talk Radio.
Once a man is glad to smoke like your grandmother.
To undertake the town, a death to end in view. A shot of fireball, one reason turned to screw. A 40 ounce of steel and silver and the ice will brew. I'm so bored, I'm doing nothing, but I got nothing to do. So pour us up to Boilermakers, ask around if there any sisters. Pour us up to Boilermakers, time to knock them back.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy with you here on another Sunday like usual. Some show notes real fast before we jump into things. Today, if you're looking for some wrestling, NSA Wrestling up in Palmer, Alaska. You have DOA Wrestling in Portland, Oregon at Harvey's. You also have, like usual, Blue Collar Wrestling featuring War Games today at the North Portland Eagles. On a bit of a sadder note, though, we lost another member of the wrestling community. I'm about to go down to Dale Pierce's funeral in a little while, but we also, in the last couple of days, lost a former guest of this very program, someone I saw just a couple of weeks ago. One of the members of the High Rollers, as well as I was, True Tradition Rob Kincaid, who's a promoter, wrestler, mentor to a lot of people. We're definitely going to miss him. QT, if you would, hit the 10 bell for Rob. We'll get into our normally scheduled program here. We're continuing on with Missed Mash Month, and I believe on the line we already have one of our guests, Gino Rivera. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, how are you? What's going on?
Doing pretty well. Now, since you have been on the show last, you have been traveling to some places, doing a lot of good work, I have noticed. You want to tell the fans a little bit about the most recent escapades you've been having?
Well, as far as wrestling goes, I've just been everywhere. Anywhere a plane or a car will take me, that's what I've been doing. I just got back from Los Angeles, just on a mini vacation to go hang out with some family, some friends. I went back to my dojo, Santino Bros. I went to go see the WWE NXT War Games. I also met my lifetime childhood idol, The Undertaker, just recently. And, I'm almost pretty much wrapping up this year with another booking in Colorado with Rocky Mountain Pro in December. So I'm everywhere.
One of the hot promotions on the independent scene, it seems like, is Rocky Mountain Pro there in Colorado. They've been doing a lot of good things, doing television, bringing in a lot of outside talent. What's the vibe that you get from being in a Rocky Mountain Pro locker room as far as how that company is growing and evolving?
Well, I didn't tell you, but I was actually going to be making my debut there. So I haven't actually been in the locker room, but I've heard so many positive things, and I look forward to working with every one of the superstars there, and I just want to go and showcase my talents on their stage and show them why I'm also one of the best around.
For sure. We also talked the last time you were here about the cruiserweight division. You're primarily a cruiserweight, and a lot of the places you're going to go, often holding cruiserweight titles and so forth. What's the cruiserweight scene like for you recently? I know that with 205 appearing on WWE Network, and you see a lot more cruiserweights in more prominent positions in wrestling in the last few years than you previously had. Are you seeing kind of a growth and acceptance on the shows where you go for cruiserweights being top guys?
Yes. As a cruiserweight myself, I've been placed in the main event. I've been placed in events where I've been seen as a heavyweight, but I'm actually not because I'm under 200 pounds. But what I can tell you is that the cruiserweight division, the lightweight, juniors, whatever you want to call them, they are taking over. People, they want to be excited when they see a match. They want something to talk about. They want to live in the moment. They want to see a wrestler have its moment. And cruiserweights are just the guys that can do that. Nothing to take away from the heavyweight, but sometimes you go and see a heavyweight match and it's not everything you expected. But when you go in there and you see two young guys that are fast and flashy and just lightning quick, there's a lot of excitement there. There's a lot of anticipation. You don't know what's going to happen. And before the match is over, you don't want the match to end at all. You just want them to keep fighting forever. And that's what a lot of us cruiserweights bring to the table. Hence why a lot of us are on the main event scene or one of the top wrestlers in each company that we are showcased in.
Well, Sange, it looks like Chief Atakulakula has shown up. Chief, may I introduce you to Gino Rivera, our other guest today.
Hey, Gino, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain. I have nothing to cry about. I'm just a happy camper.
Great.
Well,
I caught a little bit of the – I caught just a few minutes of the conversation there, so I kind of came in the middle of it.
Well, guys, one of the hopes and dreams here is Mismatch Month is to kind of get guys just interacting that may not get the chance normally. The two of you both have wrestled kind of a lot in the Arizona region. I know, Chief, you started out in that region quite a bit earlier in your career. Gino is out there currently spreading out from that region. Chief, what would you suggest to Gino as far as kind of branching out from the Arizona territory like you had done in your career?
Well, I think no matter what territory you work in, you know, eventually if you want to get anywhere, you got to branch out and kind of travel and make your name everywhere, you know, because a lot of guys just wrestle in one area most of their career, and that's fine too if that's what they want. But definitely if you want to get anywhere, you have to get your name out there in other places. So traveling is the best thing you can do. But early in your career, it's hard because a lot of people are, of course, not, you know, when you're not as known yet, they're not going to want to pay your airfare or some of your travel expenses. So I know early on it can be difficult.
Gino, the Chief has wrestled all over North America, this country, Puerto Rico, Canada. He's been quite a few places. As someone that I'm sure wants to get to all of these places as well, do you have any questions for Chief, who's been around for many decades now and has gone everywhere he can?
Yeah. How can I maintain longevity? What can I do to avoid injury and just keep going? I'm about 10 years in that I've suffered a few injuries. I've never really taken time off. I've gone straight through 10 years in, and I've covered the areas of California, Arizona, New Mexico, going on Colorado, moving down to Texas, going up to Oklahoma and Kansas. I'm making my rounds, and I just want to know what I can do to just maintain longevity. I see a lot of guys come and go. A lot of guys I've trained with, they're long gone, or a lot of the old-timers that were in my locker room, they're not there anymore. You know, what kind of advice would you offer me, a young up-and-comer like me, Gino Rivera?
Well, of course, style matters because, you know, if you get injured, I mean, you know, tell a story as best as you can without you know, I know when you're young, like, you want to take a lot of bumps and do a lot of high spots, but as you progress in your career, even people like Rey Mysterio, you know, he's cut down on what he has to do. He's still going to throw a few big things in there, but don't waste all those big bumps and all those big spots, you know, and take, you know, too many of them too young, and then your body's broke down. That's one thing. And then also longevity kind of has to do with staying relevant too. You know, sometimes you have to like, my character has been the same for over 32 years now, but sometimes I peak it and change. I mean, I've always been Chief Atacula Kula, but sometimes you have to, you know, tweak things a little bit, change with the different eras, because otherwise you're going to get left behind and become irrelevant. So you got to keep the fans interested and get the newer, younger fans to make sure that they're interested, because every decade the styles change, you know, and back when I started in the 80s, it was pretty black and white, like heel face. And of course now, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, things got a lot blurred. A lot of times the guys that wrestle more heel style actually get cheered, and some of the faces get booed. And so, I mean, you just have to, kind of be adaptable.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. And it's, you know, I've been told that before, but it's just, seems like, everyone that's told me it's the same story, so it must be true. But I do appreciate that.
You know, and I'm not one of the older guys. You know, I'm 347 pounds, but I'm not one of the guys that craps on the smaller guys either, because Kevin Sullivan, who's a good friend of mine, Kevin always says, you know, the wrestling show should be like a circus. You gotta, if you're gonna get your largest crowd, you want to have something for everyone. You know, somebody might not like the acrobats, well, then we're gonna bring out the elephants next. Somebody might not like the elephants, we'll bring out the clowns next. You know, so you need a little bit of everything. So I'm not one of those guys who, I know some of the older guys that are, you know, back in our day, size mattered, and a lot of the older guys crap on the smaller guys, but I don't, you know, things have changed over the years, and there's room for everyone in the business.
Absolutely. I agree.
Chief, like you said, you're definitely not a cruiserweight, but you've been in there with a lot of the smaller guys in the last few years. A lot of the newer big name talent are actually the smaller guys, as the style of wrestling has become popular that their cruiserweights have brought to us. As someone that has seen a lot of those opponents, and someone that has seen a lot of the smaller wrestlers throughout his career and has wrestled those types of guys, what's your best advice for people like Gino that are out there and they're going to wrestle some of the people that are your size, some of the larger wrestlers? What do they have to do in order to keep up with the larger guys and have successful matches?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I actually, I prefer to wrestle smaller guys, especially when I'm a heel. A lot of promoters want to match me up with some other 300 pounder, you know, and there's only so much 200-300 pound plus guys can do in there, you know. And especially, like I said, especially when I'm a heel, because a lot of places I'm a face, and you can still make that work. But if they put me in a smaller guy with a smaller guy, then it's a little hard for me to be the underdog and to get the sympathy. But I very much prefer working with smaller guys, especially when I'm a heel, because you got that Davy and Goliath story you already have. And I can do a lot more with a smaller guy. I can hit a lot more of my power moves, and he can use his speed against me. So I think it tells a better story. And I actually, like I said, a lot of people want to pit the big guys against the big guys, and that's not really my favorite kind of match either. But you know, one thing I'm getting out there too is, like, you need to be, like, if you're going to get people to bring you in and travel, you got to be different. And be a character, bring somebody they want to bring in, because if you're just, like, you know, a 180-pound guy in tights and kick pads, or you're just a, you know, even a big guy just in a singlet and wrestling boots, I mean, each area has their own local guys that are going to bring in friends and family that look just like that. So you got to do something to set yourself apart. You know, it's like, why should I fly this guy across the country when I got three guys, four guys, five guys that are local that look just like him that I can, you know, pay less? So you got to do something that's going to set yourself apart so they want to bring you in, something they can't see in their area. Because in the end, we all do the same moves. I mean, some of the younger guys or smaller guys do different moves than I do, but there's, 300 other guys that do the same moves he does or 300 guys that do the same moves I do. It all comes down to character and the story that you tell in the end because, none of us are doing anything too original.
I couldn't agree with you more. As some of you guys may know, I came up through the school of Santino Bros in Los Angeles, California, under Joey Chaos from XPW. And a thing he told us was something that I have to take away from you. A lot of the guys are doing the same thing today. Everybody's doing the same moves, and that's because they're all watching the same thing. Well, what my trainer, Joey Chaos, told me was we need to – everything's a cycle, right? Everything's been done before, you know what I mean? There's very few things around that haven't been done, but most of it has been done before. We were encouraged to study our film, but nothing from, for the past 10 years down. We were encouraged to watch stuff from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, around there so we can bring it back. And what's old is new, what's new is old, right? And that's
exactly
what I was taught to do. So my style, my character, as far as working big guys, everybody I step in the ring with is bigger than me, and I get that. But we've all gone to school. We've all held normal 9-to-5 jobs before. And one thing that we all hate is a person that's a loud mouth or a person that, he's kind of mouthy or smart mouth at work or in school, and we all seen that little guy that pokes the fat kid and tells him, "No, you're fat," punches him in the stomach, and everybody looks at the fat kid and tells him, "What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do?" And that kid just walks away. And the next day, that skinny kid does it again. He pokes him in the face. He pulls his hair. He kicks his shoe, pulls his pants down and embarrasses him. And then that big kid one day gets up and says, "Enough, I'm done. I'm going to whip this little kid's butt," and everybody sees that. And that little kid, that scrawny bully, that's the character I play. I'm Gino Rivera. I'm a loudmouth Puerto Rican from Brooklyn, and I am that guy that can make a name for himself just the way that Ric Flair did, getting his butt whipped, but always finding a loophole to win. And that's exactly the same kind of character that I am, that I play on TV, in real life, per se. I'm the bully, the little guy that you just want to see him get his butt whipped, and I hope that 300-pound guy steps on him just like Andre the Giant would step on people. That's me. So I just wanted to give you a little insight on my character and what my trainer also taught me, just to study your old film. Stop doing things that are done today. Don't look at what's done on TV. Go back and see what Misawa did or Brian Pillman or, stuff like that,
Yeah, I always tell people that too, what's old is new again. Like I was down south a while back and earlier this year, and I pulled out a stump puller. And, of course, nobody hardly ever does that anymore. Chief Mayavia did it back in Peter Mayavia did it back in the 70s and 60s. And then later, I think the last person probably did it regularly was Doink the Clown, was Matt Bourne. But I pulled it out down south, and the guys in the locker room actually thought I invented the move. And I'm like, no, this move's been around since, the 50s or 60s. But, nobody does it anymore. So it was new again. They hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I agree. And every time I borrow, because it's not mine. Nothing is ever anybody's. But I'll borrow something from, an old-timer, and I'll use it today, and it gets the reaction I want. Because they're used to seeing a couple of knees to the face every single match. I saw a match the other day, and the guy threw 15 knees, and I'm like, okay, what else are they going to do? They've already seen that in the last seven or four matches that happened before the show or during the show. I'll take a little here from there. I'll go look at Japan. I'll look at Mexico. I'll look at British wrestling. I'll do whatever I can to incorporate it in my arsenal, and I'll bring it to TV. And sure enough, it gets the reaction I always want every single time.
Yeah, that's another problem, too, I find on shows a lot. Not just one place, but like most places I go, nobody cares about any other match but their own, and so they don't watch a lot of the matches that come before them on the show. And then you'll see three matches in a row that have the same spots in it, and people need to pay attention to what the other guys are doing so they don't go out there and replicate it, for the third or fourth time that night.
Exactly. Whatever happened to you know, all the boys lining up around the monitor, and where the monitor was sold out, you know what I mean? And everybody would watch a match, and you'd know, oh, can't do that. You were doing, we're taking this out. Oh, this guy's doing that. We can't do this, you know. So I remember, you know, seeing a lot of that, you know, during matches where you're just kind of like, don't do this tonight. Don't do that. Everybody's doing this. And, you know, we were always told not to do stuff, you know, so that we wouldn't look stupid doing it again in the main event. So, you know.
Exactly. But yeah, a lot of, I've noticed that, like I said, increasingly, like, you know, people just don't watch anybody's match that comes before theirs. Everybody sits in the back and does their own thing. And I always kind of peek through the curtain, or if there's a monitor in the back, then I'll sit around that monitor and watch what everybody's doing, because I don't want to duplicate, you know, anything. Because a lot of times I'm later on the show, like semi main or main event, I don't want to go out there and do something they've already seen four times.
Right, right.
Chief, someone like yourself that has been in a lot of places, especially when you go down to Puerto Rico, which is very different than the wrestling up here, I think. What type of scouting do you think is best when you're going to a brand new area that you've never wrestled in before to try to have the best chance of getting over with the crowd from the get-go?
Well, I always kind of try to watch, like if I'm going to a new area, I'll try to watch video from there just to see what particular style that crowd seems to like, you know, like, and then that's what you got to do. You got to adapt your style. Like a lot of guys will wrestle the same everywhere they go, but it's not the same. You know, if you wrestle down south in Tennessee or Mississippi, it's way different than wrestling up in New York or even Detroit. It's the Northwest is different than, you know. But some things cross over, you know, like recently I had worked with El Gran Bebe a lot in Puerto Rico, and NWWA brought him up for their anniversary show in September, and we did the Flaming Cage match, and which went over very, very big up there. But, you know, that's the style in Puerto Rico is a little, well, there's a couple different styles down there, but it's definitely a more tougher, more hardcore style than kind of like Southwest, like down in Texas used to be back in the 80s, a little bit more of that style. Even though it's like Lucha Libre down there, it's definitely different Lucha Libre than they do in Mexico, you know. But yeah, you just kind of got to watch and see what gets over. I'll watch the crowd through the curtains in the earlier matches and see what the guys, what kind of, you know, the guys are doing ahead of me, what's getting over there. You know, some crowds want to see more of a technical wrestling, more of a wrestling style. Some crowds want to have more entertainment and, you know, have more fan interaction, you know, wrestler fan interaction. So you just got to kind of watch and see. And I'll even look for people in the crowd, especially when I'm a heel. I'll look in earlier matches and I'll see which area. There's usually one section that's like louder than the other, because if you can go up there and work one section that is reacting, then usually the rest of the crowd will follow, you know. And so, yeah, I always look for certain people to pick out and certain things like that. But yeah, you just gotta kind of watch the things that come before you and see what style gets over and what doesn't, what is working and what isn't working.
Gino, obviously, since you're going to some newer places, you're gonna have new opponents. When you're wrestling new guys that you've not wrestled before, maybe have never met before. Like, say you come across a guy like Chief Atakula that has been around and has wrestled all over and knows all the styles. How much are you relying on the opponents in the new area to kind of guide you in how to be successful in these new companies?
I'm really not. I don't depend on any other wrestler for anything. Whenever I see the flyer or I get the notice of, hey, you're wrestling X or you're wrestling these guys or whatever, I don't want the hype to be overwhelming for me. I don't want their name to scare me into, well, what if I don't do this? Or what if I do this? Or how is this guy? You know, I don't want to know anything about him until the day we step into that ring, and whatever I do in that ring and whatever he or she does in that ring, I can find out there. But I'm definitely confident in my ability as a wrestler and how I was trained, where I've been in the last 10 years, and the opponents that I've wrestled, because not only have I beaten those guys, but they actually physically beaten me up to make me a little better. You know what I mean? Everybody I've been in the ring with has been better than me. Therefore, they've left a part of them with me to take to another city, a state, a country, wherever. And therefore, I really don't get intimidated. I don't look up wrestlers' matches, and I don't let a name faze me. I'm just going in there, and I'm going to do me. I know what to do, how to win, how not to lose, and just, I don't know. I really don't prepare. I just know what I know, and that's pretty much it.
Well, guys, I unfortunately have to depart here really quick. I have to make Dale Pierce's funeral. Chief, I know you knew Dale pretty well. So
he's the first person I actually knew in the wrestling business. I've known him for 33 years.
Absolutely. So we're going to miss Dale. My last question for you, Dale, and I used to be able to work together without saying a single word, and he knew what I needed out of him. I knew what he needed out of me. Never communicated it verbally. We just could feed off of each other instinctually. You don't see a lot of managers have that ability anymore to just go out and instinctively know what people know and need in that ring. Do you think that that art is kind of a lost art for managers, where they can just go out there and do what needs to be done without having to be told, not having to have people ahead of time tell them, I need you to do this, if I do that, that type of thing?
Yeah, I know several across the country that are very good at it, but it is becoming a lost art because, you know, like WWE itself doesn't really use managers much anymore. They're not used a lot of places like they used to be in all the territory days. So that, you know, a lot of people don't have the ability to really learn, or even the people, you know, the older managers in the business to learn from, because there's just not a lot in the business anymore. So unfortunately it is becoming a lost art. There are still several people around the country that I could list off, probably four or five people that are really good managers still at this point.
All right, well, I have to get down to Dale's funeral, unfortunately. But thank both of you for being on today, and I'm going to put you in the capable hands of QT Vokes for the rest of the way.
Okay. Thanks, Sungai.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Last Friday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we had on as our guest Mr. Kurt P. Litchwick, owner of a company called Great Minds Revolution. And two of the main products he makes are the inflatable kid-friendly, as well as adult-friendly, cheap chair shot and trash can. In fact, I have on my desk before me a cheap chair shot. On the back of the box, it says, "The folding chair, an enduring vintage symbol of wrestling entertainment, now available for wrestling role play and more. Inflatable fun for all ages. Go ahead, swing away. Made of highly durable material for lots of play." My question is, if you could go back a minimum of 2 years, can you name your top three matches you would have most likely like to have had a cheap chair shot or trash can to use on an opponent?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you like me to name some of the matches or the guys?
Yes, please. Yes.
If I could definitely nail, I'd say Manny Lemons, who debuted on Impact recently, and Ring of Honor. I would definitely, let's say I'd give him an extended chair shot right to his back. I'd definitely do that one for him. I could say Peter Avalon, is another one who just made his NWA debut recently. And I'd give him probably a chair shot to the gut and a trash can to the forehead. And as far as another guy, I definitely say, I'm going to go with, I don't know, Famous B, who's with Lucha Underground right now. I definitely just throw the trash can over his head or bounce it off his back a few times. Those are three guys I'd like to do some damage to.
Oh, okay. Well, Peter Avalon, why does that name jump out at me like he'd be from Hollywood? I'm just assuming.
Because he's one of the men around here. He's doing it big. Peter Avalon of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood under David Marquez, and Championship Wrestling from Arizona, where I'm actually at. And he's just everywhere, just like me. We run into each other from here to there, locker rooms from here to there. He's one of the men that's going to make a big name for himself. He's a star now. He's going to be an even bigger star in the future. I just know it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Chief, which wrestlers in blue-collar wrestling would you have most liked to use these two products on, the folding chair, the cheap chair shot, or the trash can?
These are inflatable, you said?
Yes, they are inflatable.
I wouldn't want to use the inflatable ones on anybody. I know a few people I'd like to use the real chairs on. But let me see. Probably Mean Mac Traeger for sure.
Yes.
You're just talking blue-collar wrestling, huh?
Yes.
Definitely Mean Mac Traeger, Phoenix Kid, and Bad Blood. How's that?
Bad Blood, yes.
Oh,
yeah,
no, Gino, are you familiar?
Inflatable ones. I'd rather use the steel chair.
Gino, have you come across our Northwest wrestler, Bad Blood?
Absolutely. I've seen that guy, and he usually gives me a weird little eye, and I should have named him instead of somebody else. But speaking of blue-collar wrestling, yeah, I would definitely like to wrap an inflatable, a real, a plastic, a metal, steel, it doesn't matter. I would definitely like to wrap it right around his head, and he knows that.
Whoa, now what's the Bad Blood between you and Bad Blood? You said that he gave you like a stink eye?
Gives me a weird eye. He hasn't said anything to piss me off, but he's put some feelers out there that he wants to step in the ring with me. I recently heard some stories, and every time he's in my regional area, we seem to miss each other. So I don't want that to happen anymore. I just want to, you know, step in the ring with him. And if I have one of those inflatable chairs or whatever, I'm going to do what I can do to come out victorious, and he knows that. That's the Bad Blood. The Bad Blood is Bad Blood, not meeting me where I need him to be.
You'll have to do it soon, though, before he retires again. I think he's trying to catch up with Terry Funk.
Yeah, I think so. I heard about that. That's like his third or fourth time. But it doesn't matter, because as soon as he retires, I'm going to put him in a retirement home, and he knows
that.
Yeah,
maybe you can retire him for good.
Oh, absolutely, and he knows that as well, which is why he gives me the evil eye.
Well, Gino, he calls himself the Ghetto Heisman. However, I don't think he's ever played football. He may have deflated a bunch of footballs by switchblade or maybe needle or on purpose, yes. But Ghetto Heisman, probably not.
He probably used an inflatable football from one of those companies that made those chairs and that you were talking about.
Yes, Great Minds Revolution. Yes. Oh, okay.
So he's never played football,
wow.
Huh?
I don't know. I could see him as a wide receiver. He's probably pretty speedy. I think Chief would agree with that. He does have some natural speed. Yes.
Yeah, he likes to run a lot.
I can tell.
Wow. All right. Well, Gino, I also asked Mr. Kurt P. Litchwick, which venue
he would most like to see his product showcased at. I gave him two choices: the halftime show at the Super Bowl or the opening bell on Wall Street. Mr. Litchwick chose the halftime show at the Super Bowl because so many fans would be watching. However, he said that to showcase his two products, the folding chair and the trash can on Wall Street would also be good because a lot of rich millionaires and movers and shakers in the financial world would be watching. Given a choice between the halftime and the Wall Street, the opening bell, if you could have a choice, what two products would you choose or venues if you had these choices, the folding chair or the trash can?
I would definitely use the folding chair, and I would definitely take my talents to Wall Street because, unlike everybody else, I am a smart man, and I'm aware of millionaires. I know the smell of money when I walk into a room, and by God, I'm going to get that money. Everybody can do the halftime show. I mean, Janet Jackson did it, Britney Spears, NSYNC, and they're all forgotten about now today. But a man like me, I don't need the fame. I want the money. So I'll take everything to Wall Street with the folding chair, the inflatable folding chair.
Wow, all right. Chief, given your choice, what would you choose, the halftime at the Super Bowl or the opening bell on Wall Street?
I agree with Gino. I think the opening bell at Wall Street would be more important in the long run to, you know, get investors and get product out there, get money invested in it. So, I mean, a lot of people would see it on the halftime at the Super Bowl, but like he said, you know, there's been a lot of things that have been on the halftime show and they're forgotten now. So I think in the long run, you know, Wall Street's always going to be there.
We like money.
Wow, all right. Okay.
You got to think like a businessman.
Gino, you were saying?
We like money. I like money. I'm pretty sure that anybody that's into this profession, you know, fame is all nice, but it's all about money. It's all about paying your bills and making sure the lights stay on. You know what I mean? So I don't think you can pay a bill with fame, can you? I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's ever been done, but if I'm a bill collector, I'm going to want your money. I don't want a handshake.
See, those are the smart guys in the business, because there are two kinds of guys in the business these days in the indie scene. You know, there's guys that are businessmen and there's guys that just do it for the glory. You know, but
yeah, I don't need
people
that.
People that treat it like a business do much better in the long run.
I've got glory for my children. I've got fame for my kids. They look up to me. I'm their hero. That's the only fame I need. I need the money. Show me the money.
Well, Gino, you said you recently met The Undertaker as your favorite idol. It sounds like the Million Dollar Man would have been in the running.
Yeah, too bad he wasn't there, but I definitely met The Undertaker. I didn't even have to pay for my flight or to see him. I was gifted that. I couldn't ask for another person to meet. I've never wanted to meet anybody in my entire life more than The Undertaker. And after that little, short little handshake and photograph, there's nobody in the world I want to meet anymore. I don't want to meet Kiss. I don't want to meet Chris Jericho. I don't want to meet the Loch Ness Monster. I don't want to meet God. I saw everybody I needed to see, and that's a shoot, brother.
Wow. Holy smokes. Now, speaking of Kiss, Gene Simmons, the bass guitarist, has also been on Wall Street. He got to ring the opening bell. Just a fact for you. Gene Simmons.
He's a smart man. He's a businessman.
Yeah, he's a very...
Yep,
he's a very good businessman. He's kept that going for 40 years now. I mean, he's a marketing genius.
Exactly. Same here. I'm going to be... I can tell you something. I'm 30 years old, and I live in a 6-bedroom house. And thanks be to no one but myself. I've never been given anything. I've always worked my whole life for everything. I've come from a poor background, and a hardworking do-it-yourself. Never going to college. Can't do it in college. You just got to do it yourself. So I believe in the working man and working hard for your stuff. And when you got it, show it like you never had it, because you'll never have it again. And that's exactly what I do.
I might remind Chief Attakulakula that Gene Simmons was born in Israel, and he immigrated to the United States.
That's correct, yeah.
And upon first arriving in New York, his first memory was seeing a large billboard of Santa Claus, and he thought it was a rabbi. A rabbi.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, me either. And yeah,
Gino,
I can understand how he would have thought about that, though.
Yes, he had the white beard, you know, and stuff like that, the flowing white beard. And I'd like to remind Gino that Gene and who's the lead singer again? The lead singer. Boy, I can't remember his name at the moment. Oh, yeah,
Paul Stanley.
Yeah. They have combined to produce a long line of KISS products, such as KISS credit cards, KISS trading, KISS credit cards, KISS trading cards, KISS caskets, KISS condoms, KISS golf courses, and KISS coffee houses, and a chain of restaurants called Rock and Brews. Yes.
And they have the KISS Cruise, which actually... They have the KISS Cruise that Chris Jericho actually modeled his after.
Ah, yes. They usually go from Fort Lauderdale to Key West. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I hope, Gino, that you will someday get a chance to go on one of those KISS Cruises. Yes.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I've never been on a boat, but I would love to.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chief, in the 1980s, when $1 million had a lot more bang for its buck, the two members of ZZ Top, Dusty Hill and Billy Gibbons, were offered that $1 million to shave their beards off on TV. They politely declined. Now, for $50,000 in today's money, if offered by Gillette, would you shave your mohawk off?
No, I would not.
Oh, all right. Gino, are you aware that the Chief has a flaming pink or red mohawk?
Here's where I'd be a businessman, and if I was him, I would shave that for sure, take the $50,000, and grow it back again. And now I want two things. I want my hair back when it grows back, and I got $50,000. Or did you say $50,000 or $50 million? What did you say?
$50,000.
Yeah. Hey, I can win twice.
Yeah, the problem is I have commitments. Like, I wrestle two or three times somewhere around the country or in Puerto Rico or every weekend, and they kind of expect the pink, the Chief to show up with a pink mohawk. So... I kind of have commitments, so I have to, and if it was $50 million, that'd be a different thing. But yeah, for $50,000, I'm not gonna, basically breach my commitments, that I have to all these promoters that I've worked with for years that kind of, I have a relationship with. I'm certainly not going to throw all that away just for $50,000.
Ah, smart man.
Well, maybe if the CD rates went up to 5 or 6%, but they're only still like about 1.1%. Yes. Okay. Well, Gino, this midterm election was very bitter with many close races. Whether it be for senator, governor, or for the House of Representatives, many races were still too close to call, even though 99% of the votes, or even 100% of the votes, were in. In fact, some races that had 100% of the votes in took hours to call, or even days after supposedly the final vote was seen or cast. In some ways, this was like several matches I have seen, especially in the Northwest. For whatever reason, I have seen wrestlers pinned in the ring with their opponent's shoulders square to the mat, while what should have been a normal 3 seconds had turned into 4, 5, 6, or even 7 and 8 second counts by the referee. Every time the ref's hand was supposed to come down, it seemed it was in slow motion, where 1 second turned into 2 or 3. Gino, can you recall any matches where you had to pin your opponent for 6 or 7 seconds to secure a victory, reminding fans of the Florida vote count between President Bush and Democratic challenger John Kerry?
No, not at all. I definitely put some fear into the refs when I see them running around the locker room, because they know I want a victory, and they know that if they don't count fast enough, I'm going to break their hands.
Whoa, okay. Have you ever gotten up from an opponent that had been pinned for about 5 seconds, walked slowly over to the referee and grabbed him by the shirt, and then thrown the referee on your fallen opponent, and then you did a quick 3 count? Have you ever done that?
No, I've never done that, actually. I can't remember a time.
All right, Chief, how about you? Have you ever pinned your opponent and for some reason the referee was very slow, in slow motion, you got up, grabbed the ref, and threw him on your fallen opponent to quicken the count?
Pretty much every one of my matches at Sign Guy ref.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chief, speaking of elections, would you pay big money to see a steel cage match between two lady wrestlers named the absentee ballot and the exit poll?
Yes, I definitely would, yeah. Steel, if fans bring the weapons inside a steel cage, loser leaves town. How about that?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, very nice. Oh, okay. Gino, would you pay big money to see a match between two lady wrestlers named the absentee ballot and the exit poll?
Absolutely, 100%. Definitely.
All right, Gino, have you heard of the wrestler from Eastern Kentucky called the Liberal Democrat?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. I would request that you go on YouTube and look up this wrestler, the Liberal Democrat. He comes to the ring in Hillary Clinton T-shirts, and that doesn't go over too well in Kentucky.
Wow. Are you familiar with a wrestler named Sam Adonis?
Sam Adonis. Any relationship to Adrian Adonis?
I can't say. That you might have to ask him, but this is a very, very known wrestler around the independent scene, the brother of Corey Graves, I believe. And he comes out with Donald Trump accessories, a shirt, a flag, and he goes straight down to Mexico. And I believe he says, build that wall, and gets lots of dirty diapers and piss thrown at him.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
How about to you?
Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, now, speaking of polar opposites of the Liberal Democrats, Chief, I was up in Marysville, Washington last night for the CPW card, and your longtime tag partner, Defola Dabashi, was in action, and boy, was he creating mayhem.
Yeah?
Yes.
So do you have a question around this?
No. I just thought I'd send that out.
Yeah, I actually saw some of that. It was live on their Facebook page last night. I actually did see some of the show. I was able to tune in and out of it a little bit from where I was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Gino, can you tell us about your recent Destiny Wrestling Organization victory, full access championship win over Desi DeRata? Doesn't she have a brother called Running Scared or Running Bear? Running Bear, yes.
Yeah, I think you got it right. It was Running Scared, definitely Running Scared, and High Horse or something like that. I don't know, but I knocked them down off of it. The problem with wrestling women sometimes is they never know their place in the ring. And I get the whole women empowerment thing. But in my ring, when you're in the ring with me, all that stops as soon as you step into the ring. Now you can have a bunch of indigenous or Native Americans and Navajo warriors all around you chanting your name, but it doesn't matter when you're in the ring with me, because at the end of the day, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to do what I do best, destroy anyone that's in my path. And that's what happened to Desi. I do not apologize for what I did. I won fair and square. If you watch the match, I am still the Destiny Wrestling Organization full access champion for going over a little over 250 days now. So let that be a lesson to her, her people, and anyone else around her that thinks they want to step into the ring and test their strength, test their ability. Let that be a lesson. And the last I heard, she's running scared back home.
Hey, after the match, Gino, after the match, did she make you a sandwich?
No, actually, I think I took one of her bear skins that she came to the company with, so, and they fit quite lovely.
Oh, wow. Okay. Holy smokes. All right, well, Gino, did I hear you bill yourself as a Puerto Rican from Brooklyn, New York?
Yes, sir. I am the Latino Al Pacino, the Puerto Rican Pitbull. I am the Puerto Rican Destroyer, Gino Rivera.
So if you could travel back in time, would you belong to the street gang, the Sharks, or the Jets in West Side Story? West Side Story.
None of the above, because no gang, no group, no organization is stronger than the Latin Kings in New York. And that's my affiliation.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Chief, the great Dan Gable, Olympic champ, and Iowa University 10-time NCAA coaching champ, once said, "I shoot, I score. He shoots, I score." Do you believe Cale Sanderson, 4-time NCAA champion and undefeated in college and Olympics, could have defeated 2-loss Dan Gable had he traveled back in time and come down in weight?
That's actually a good question. That's actually, it's something we'll never see, obviously, because you can't go back in time. But that's the match that I would have liked to have seen, actually. So, wow, I don't know. I don't know who would win that. That could go either way. Of course, he'd be dropping weight, so probably would have to. It would probably favor Gable a little bit. I actually know Dan Gable, but it would probably favor Dan a little bit, I guess, because Cal would have to drop weight. But I actually couldn't say definitely who would win or lose that match.
Okay. All right. Well, Gino, were you a big fan of the Mr. Fuji Don Morocco team called Fuji Vice?
I can't say I was, but I was definitely a fan of Mr. Fuji coming up, where I still incorporate some of the dirty tactics that he used to do. I'm a big fan of blinding people in the eyeballs with a certain substance.
If I could arrange it, would you be willing to work with Rocky Mountain Pro Wrestling Joey Chaos in a collaboration called Rivera Vice?
Absolutely. As long as I've got Joey Chaos on my side, I'm willing to take on anybody.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Chief, Chris Jericho was quoted as saying, "Think about it. Pro wrestling as an Olympic sport would be pretty cool. Look at figure skating or gymnastics. What is it? It's a choreographed performance that is judged." My question is, how cool would it have been to see Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan in a cage match with the Powers of Pain?
I'd pay to see it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I actually, I think Kerrigan and Harding would probably go over, though, because I'm sure there'd be a run in and somebody get hit in the leg, but, you know.
Oh, okay, yes, with that. What was it, a hammer? It was a ball-peen hammer, I think, to the kneecap.
Yeah, I think it was the hammer. Do you remember when they actually did that in WCW when they mimicked that with Arn Anderson?
No, I don't. I've got to look that up.
Yeah, it was a famous bit. They did it. Arn Anderson came out under a hood, and I'm trying to remember who the Four Horsemen were feuding with. But, yeah, he came out and took somebody's leg out, and they couldn't compete in a match with Flair after that. And I can't remember exactly who it was, but it was a direct parody of what happened with Nancy Kerrigan and all that. So, yeah, you might want to look that up on YouTube. I know the video's out there.
Wow. Well, from our conversation today, it sounds like Gino would like to take a ball-peen hammer or maybe even a foam one to the left kneecap of Bad Blood.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If I could turn it into his third leg, I would definitely incorporate that too.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, gentlemen, we are coming down to the last part of our show. I'll give both of you any last moments to plug or promote anything you would like, your favorite foam rubber or inflatable garbage can or steel chair shot, favorite espresso. The floor is all yours.
Who do you want to go first?
Chief, you could start out. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll be back out, actually, your direction on January 12th at NWWA. I'll be wrestling Boyce LeGrand. Lots of big stuff coming up after the first year, like always. I'll be back in Puerto Rico for the anniversary show on April 30th. I'll be at Rumble in the Redwoods in California in March. And I also got Rumble for the Kids, the big show they do in Illinois in April. So I got lots of big stuff coming up after the first of the year. And as always, you can follow my fan page, Chief Attacoolacoola, on Facebook. Or most people are on my I already have 5,000 fans, but you can still interact with me there on my regular page, Rod Attacoolacoola, and I'm at the Chief Atta on Twitter.
Hi, Gino.
All righty. Well, I'll start with I'm making my Rocky Mountain Pro debut in Colorado December 15th. I'm also heading out to Arizona for Party Hard Wrestling December 14th. And when I'm done there, I'm going to be headed out to Championship Wrestling from Arizona January 12th. I'll be at Cactus League Wrestling down in Tucson, Arizona on the 19th. I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for Sonoran Championship Wrestling on the 27th of January. And in February, I'm headed down to Los Angeles, California for Blood Brothers promotion, where I will be making my long return, my long-awaited return since 2013. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but it's going to be some chaotic-ish. And you can follow me on Gino Told You So for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, Gino Rivera. Also, check out my YouTube channel, Gino Pro Wrestler. Gino Rivera, Gino Told You So Pro Wrestler.
Well, Gino and Chief, it's been great. Thanks for coming on, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm starting a food
fight. And don't
fight
hit
on
anyone with a drumstick.
Too late.
Just don't hit anyone with a drumstick.
Somebody might be swallowing that drumstick, and I think it might be my Uncle Bill.
Oh, wow. Okay, Uncle Bill.
He owes me some money.
Money and Gino Rivera go together. I think it's a constant theme. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Yes.
All righty, have a wonderful
thank you.
One. Thank you.
does around the world.